Say, Paul, welcome. It's good to get a chance to speak to you. So today we're going to be talking about this. So this is a podcast we're doing for Mental Health Week, and we are looking at sort of consumers' contribution to communities. So Paul, did you want to give a little introduction to yourself?
I guess my mental health thing started about 99, 2000. I committed an act. It wasn't in my mind as violent as everyone else made it out to be. I ended up doing like 8 months in prison, where I met a heap of characters, which was interesting. And then I ended up at Thomas and Lincoln Hospital. I was there for about 10 years before I got my extended leave for the first time. And then something bad happened that I was not in control of, and I was sent back to the hospital, and I was given a 6 month suspended sentence. So I did another 8 years there, which is strange because I've worked on a committee with Victorian Legal Aid with IMA, and they deal with people that are in the mental health system. So I'm the only forensic person on that panel. And I hear so many horrible stories about actual community and private hospitals. It sounds really disgusting the way that they treat people. And it's weird because, like, I didn't really have any choices about what happened with my case. It's not like I just sat on my ass and did nothing. I did my year 11, heaps of short courses. When I got out the first, on my first extended leave, I got my cert for in community services. Then Legal Aid picked me up. I've been with them for about 4 years now, 3, 4 years. And they've been great. I listen to all their stories, and I have my own stories, but it's generally about having that say, and the input on, especially with the Royal Commission that's come up, just on how and what the legislation should look like as we move into the future. So I've actually sat on an internal think tank with my CTT, which is at Horden Street.
So what is
And
my CC my so what was that again,
not Horden
sorry?
Street, sorry, Forensic Care. CTT, the community treatment team over at Hoddle Street, sorry. They're part of they're forensic care. That's the community forensic care. So I'm on their internal think tank, and we're working on strategies and plans on moving forensic care into the future, and getting them just like so people know what they're who they are and what they do. So they're doing the actual presentation on. Oh no, we're doing. We're there. I'm the token mental patient on that team at the moment. Yeah, so they're working on the strategic plan for the future. So they're doing they're presenting it to me next Monday, and then they're having the actual presentation, I think, a week after that, or no, the Wednesday after that, I think. And yeah, so I'm going to be one of the first to actually have a look at their plan. I mean, well, I've been working on it for the whole time, and I think they appreciate me being there, because I'm not an idiot.
So Paul, so for today, because we are looking at, so as I mentioned earlier, this is for Mental Health Week. We are doing this all up, and we are looking at sort of community and sort of the communities you're involved in, the community interests, and you've mentioned a bit of that stuff already.
All right. So I wish that I had more to do with the community. I volunteered at so many places, especially without having a working with Children's Check at the moment. Not that I'm a violent person or offended against children, but for some strange reason, they need that qualification. I don't even know if you could call it a qualification, like a license to be around children or people with mental health or mental disability and all that sort of thing. I think it's weird. Nobody understands it. Everyone's having big qualms every time I bring it up. And it just seems to be one of the things. Like, I'm not a violent person. I don't lash out. Like, as far as my childhood is concerned, I get in trouble for what other people do, as far as I know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But so you're saying that, so that's sort of like, that holds you back a little bit for getting more involved in the community. But from what it sounds like, you're still very much involved in sort of within the space and helping people. Is that correct?
Oh yeah. I don't try to use my qualifications to distance myself from people, but just being there and trying to understand what other people are going through. You know, I'm distant at the moment. I live on my own. I get lonely, and with this whole corona thing, it's disgusting the way that I can't sort of be in my own space and all that. But I mean, every time I go out and I meet people, and Zoom and all the other, you know, like Microsoft Teams and all that, it's great to actually be part of it, but to actually sit there in front of someone and talk, is, you know, I don't get that, you know, rapport, the conversation or anything like that. Every time I jump on, it's always work in my mind. And you know, that's great. It keeps me busy. I'm happy about that. And I don't mind being on my own. I'm liking looking forward to things, especially when this whole COVID thing disappears.
You've mentioned earlier about you have been involved in some sort of projects lately, and a lot of those are sort of benefiting people. So what have you been sort of doing as part of those? Like what you yourself has been doing? Because you mentioned the projects as a whole, but you didn't mention sort of your role and your token mental patient, as you call it.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty much, I mean, it's not a bad role. It's weird when doctors that have been standing over me for the last 18 years, you know, see me face to face in a meeting, and then you never see them again. Like I literally, they run away when they see me for some reason. I don't know why. Maybe it's something to do with them. I don't know. I'm not going to put anything on them like they put shit on me. Oh, sorry. When they put things on people mm-hmm. and then walk away and expect things to change, it doesn't happen. And yeah, you know, I've seen people come and go, like, you know, over the 18 years. I don't know why I'm the bad guy, but you know, I've seen people that, you know, have severe delusions and all that sort of thing, and they sort of pass through without, you know, really touching the sides. Me in the community, I'm just waiting for this thing to end so that, you know, I can wake up and not feel like I'm not doing anything for the day.
Outside of this sort of current situations, what sort of things were you involved in or plan to be involved in?
I want to, you know, do working bees and, you know, be in support groups and, you know, convince people that there's actually something out there for people that have mental health problems. And, you know, there's not just the person over the phone, but being face to face with someone and literally, you know, being able to shake their hands. I mean, aside from Corona, mm-hmm. you know, we're on social distancing at the moment, which I think's not fun. I'm making this out to be a big Corona thing, aren't I? This isn't.
It's totally the topic of the day, and we totally understand because, like, I'm asking about what you do in the community and all this sort of stuff, and you seem to be someone who is very much a big fan of being connected one-on-one, face-to-face with someone. I can totally relate to that. And
one of the things that I do remember, I used to volunteer over at Ceres, the community garden, you know.
Yeah,
so, you know, I did that 3 years ago. And I went, when was it? Like, I think it was 3 years ago the first time I went there. Mm-hmm. And I met all my bosses. I call them my bosses because I have to follow what they say. And they were great. And then when I went back, I think it was another 3 years later, like they remembered me. You know, I crack jokes with them, you know, they're great people. And they give back to the community, and I like to give back to the community too. And I like, you know, having just being there and like using my hands and thinking and, you know, being in control of my situation. And
so you're saying, but what I was saying again is sort of for you personally, there seems to be such this great sort of benefit in being able to be a human, be work with your hands, be connected with people in person, have that human experience that you find in community.
Yeah, and especially when, like, you do the right thing and, you know, everything comes together and you can go home at the end of the day and feel like you've accomplished something. I mean, even if it's a small thing, I used to do other people's homework just so that they wouldn't fall back. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know that's the wrong thing to do, but I don't want people to just be stagnant and stay in the same spot for eternities. I'd rather see people wake up, big smile on their face, say good morning, and just, you know, be comfortable with who they are. And if it takes me to, you know, sit down and do their homework for them, I just think that people, you know, I think that people deserve to be given a chance. I think that, you know, I mean, some people might not be the right people to hang around, but these groups and these organizations, they bring people together and, you know, you can be honest. I think I can be honest about what's going on in my life because, I mean, I'm not saying that everyone's going through the same situation, but just having something in common, just knowing that, you know, you're there. And I mean, I sort of went out of my way for a few years, not to be noticed, but just to, you know, confront like public speaking and, you know, trying to just feel more comfortable with, you know, my mental state.
Mm-hmm.
But then I have bad friends that do bad things, which is always going to get me into trouble. And I'm now trying to, like, especially with COVID, I've distanced myself from like situations where, you know, I don't have the control and I'm the one who's looking after everyone else because they're putting on that, you know, oh, I've got a mental illness, I can do whatever I want sort of thing. So, you know, I think I need to meet more people that are more conscientious about their own situations and have, you know, opinions that aren't, you know, affecting other people's lives, more along the lines of having an opinion about, you know, being where they are and being confident about who they are rather than putting other people in situations where there's drugs involved or they're committing serious offenses that, you know, people shouldn't be put in. You know, like I'd love to be able to have people around at my house that I can trust. I'd love it if, you know, I could go somewhere and basically just participate in programs that, you know, spark interest and, you know, enjoy what's going on in the world. I mean, I at the moment, you know, I'm waiting. I get calls all the time and, you know, there's organizations out there that would, you know, love to have me to be part of their, you know, their participants. And, you know, I'm just waiting. It's so annoying that, you know, this COVID thing came up. I just recently got on an NCSO, which is a non-custodial supervision order.
Yep.
And that was like right in the middle of COVID. And I didn't, well, you're meant to go back to court for those sorts of things, but because I was traveling along so well, they did it all through the paperwork. And everyone congratulated me and it's just like, hooray, but you know what I mean?
you didn't have your day.
Yeah. So it's nice to know that I don't have, you know, forensic doctors crawling up my bum, you know, trying to control. This is so annoying, you know, but at the moment it's just like now that I'm sort of free, it's just like, you know, I can't cleanse my feelings. I can't cleanse my mind and start participating properly or, you know, being focused into doing things. Like, I mean, I going back about 6 months ago, I got my human resource management diploma.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And now I've started a Cert 3 in business as well. And I'm looking forward to be actually, you know, just being able to, you know, not like stand, no, you know, just to be employed and, you know, just like having that responsibility that, you know, it's not just me that I'm looking after, it's the whole community. You know, like being able to, you know, just, you know, have purpose when I wake up.
Yeah, of course.
You know?
So, Paul, I don't want to rewind a bit because there's actually something you touched on earlier that I think is great to sort of explore with you, if that's okay. You mentioned that, you know, with your sort of, your within your sort of small community, your friends, you sort of act as sort of a, like you care for them, you support them. Is that, that's correct, right? As to the best of your abilities, it's something you mentioned.
My friends, it just got to the, I recently just got to the point where I was going to invite them all around to my place as soon as this COVID thing was over. I don't know if I can do that and say to myself that,
and that's
it's hard. It's my friends have been narcissists.
Yeah.
So it's always about them and it's never about what, like as a group. It's weird. Like you got to experience something other than. Oh,
and I think you've actually made a brilliant point there for said people who may be listening to this, that it's important to take care of people. It's important to be there and to be that support. But at the same time, you need to look after yourself. You need to make sure the communities you're a part of are good for you as well.
Yeah, definitely. I want to be supportive. Like, I mean, I own a lot of tools. So if people need, I'm always there. You know, if they need screws put in somewhere or, you know, they need to, you know, do anything really. Like, I'll throw my tools in and, you know, like I just changed all the filters in my car the other day and it's running beautiful now, you know, and I needed someone to be there because I was getting my car up on my ramps and I had two of my friends come around and all they had to do was stand in front of the car and make sure I didn't go over the edge. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I thanked them, like, you know, for ages because, you know, sometimes you do need someone there. Even if they're just supervising you or you need someone there just to know that you're getting it right and you're not going to, you know, make a mistake. And even if you do make a mistake, there's other people there that are going to, you know, support you and, you know, make sure that, you know, that it's not going to be a massive catastrophe. Like, I mean, if I hadn't aligned those ramps up and, you know, my friend hadn't like freaked out, you know, it would, you know, like, I don't know what I would have been doing, but sometimes you just need someone there, even if they're being quiet, you know, but I don't really have that, at the moment. I'm on my own. I don't, you know, I actually freaked out this morning. I've been going through a situation and I mean, I've been trying to give up smoking for a while. As soon as, like, I woke up this morning and, like, I was a bit stressed and nothing was helping. So I went down, I saw my local Tattersalls guy, Sonny, and, I bought some cigarettes. And I sat back and, it was comforting to actually just know that I had something rather than not having anything at all. I'll take my medication if I'm stressed out too. You know, I get to the point sometimes, like, I had a full body anxiety, like my whole body was just, you know, felt like there was something rolling around in my system. And, you know, I'm on olanzapine and, you know, I took that and it settled down and I could feel in my mind that it was clearer and, you know, I didn't have to worry, you know, at that point. I could sit down and just be comfortable with who I am rather than sort of waking up and spending 2 hours of that morning, you know, just some strange feeling that's rolling around in your system. It's not fun.
Real sort of note I'm getting there is that, like, in order to be the best person you can be, you need to look after yourself. You need to take care, make sure you're in a good place.
Yeah. Oh.
So you've sort of, over the last period of time, you've sort of explored these different ways to be involved with communities. You've done stuff like series, been involved with the bigger orgs, been involved with just like your group of friends and your communities that way. So it seems to me, you seem to be on this bit of a threshold right now of like, what do you do next? Where do you go from here? What's your next plans? And you're all just waiting for this to boil over, clean itself up so you can take on that next step of getting involved. Does that sound right?
Yes. Yes, that is. I mean, I remember before the, you know, February when all this sort of started and I was walking through the city and people that were homeless would recognize me from, you know, just being, you know, on my past stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought it was strange. You know, I'd rather give them advice than, you know, give them a dollar for a hamburger.
Mm.
You know, I'm not saying that they, you know, I'd rather, you know, be able to know that they're going to be like they're going to make something out of a situation. And sometimes, I mean, I've tried living on the streets. I must be such a nice guy because I always ended up living on people's couches for a while. But it's one of those things. It's just like, I'd rather be put in a situation where, you know, contributing to the community or contributing to my own situation is beneficial for everyone. I mean, I'm painting a picture for my daughter she just moved out of home.
Mm-hmm.
She's moved in with her boyfriend and it's great, you know. So I'm painting this picture. And I've tried being in part of art groups and, you know, I take my own projects with me. And it was strange because I didn't know anyone at these places because I was new. But the weirdest part was I didn't really feel like I was welcomed for some reason. I sort of left thinking, you know, how come, you know, there wasn't more for me to be there, but other people that had known each other for years or whoever they are, I don't know them. I don't know this situation. I don't know their story, but it's uncomfortable when, you know, people tell you that to be quiet because I don't know. And it was just strange because, you know, I'm like when you go someplace, you'd like to be greeted. And welcomed, you know, and I mean, it's just a small part of actually being somewhere is just saying, hi, my name's Paul, you know, or, you know, whoever you are or whatever you're doing, you know, just, you know, don't, I mean, even quiet people, you know, like I'll introduce myself because, you know, you're part of that community. Well, you should be part of that community, you know, seeing people that you haven't seen for ages, you should always, you know, welcome them. I mean, people go through different experiences their whole lives and, you know, not being able to, you know, be part of things is difficult, especially like if you're invited somewhere and, you know, you're standing back and you're not sure what anyone else's story is or what's going on in their head. You know, it's just sort of nice to just, you know, even if you do want to be quiet,
yeah,
you know, being around other people is therapeutic and healthy. You know, as long as you're not thinking bad things about them, you know, and you know, eventually down the line they get comfortable with you, and you know, you can introduce yourself, or they can say hi, or you can say hi, and that's like then you're part of the community. It's just strange because the people just put themselves in their own little groups and they don't contribute to the situation. It's like, well, you know, I mean, like going on holidays, I remember when I was a kid going on holidays, you know, I felt isolated, but I never sort of let that, you know, get me down or whatever. You know, even if I was on my own, I just know that there's plenty of people around me, you know, and as long as they're not, like, you know, kids will be kids, but at the same time, you know, you don't have to be part of the problem. So
what you're saying is, like, when people do get involved in community spaces, you want there to be a sort of, you want them to be welcoming. You want them to not be welcoming to new people, inviting. You want to be, feel like you're included in that space. And that's something... do you like to do when you are involved in spaces, be that sort of person to invite people in?
Yeah. Yeah. It might take time too. Like, you could be somewhere and talk to one person,
Yeah.
But at least we're talking to that one person. You know, you can go somewhere and, you know, even like having a meal with a group of people. You can choose whatever you want on the menu. Like most places, you have to pay for it yourself. But it's just like you can choose whatever you want. You can experience new things. You don't have to do the same thing over and over again. And if you are doing the same thing over and over again and you're having problems doing that same thing, I mean, maybe just changing what you're saying or what you're doing and just, you know, being open to you know, trying to understand what other people are going through as well. You know?
So what I've seen to get from all of the conversations with you today is that there is something extremely therapeutic, extremely beneficial of being involved with other people's lives and having other people involved with yours.
Yeah. I've recently got in contact with an old friend that I hadn't seen for a while. And he lives in a block of flats, so he can't buy things off the net. Yeah, and we're going through a period. So I said to him, I said, look, you know, here's my address. Make sure you put my name on the box so that it's coming to me. And when I get it, I can deliver it to your house, you know, because he can't have, you know, things dropped off at his place all the time. So, and he was grateful for it. And he was the guy who came around to my house and helped me put my car on the ramps.
So it's reciprocal.
Yeah, yeah. He helped me do that and I was grateful for it. And now I'm helping him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's absolutely brilliant. I think that's all we sort of have time to, well, that's probably a good place to wrap it up, honestly, but it's been great. Absolutely talking to you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no, thank you, Robin.